Welcome to First Mile's Climate Heroes. I'm your host, Bruce Bratley, founder of recycling company First Mile. On this show, we meet and learn from the climate heroes who are building solutions right now to tackle climate change. Welcome to First Mile's Climate Heroes, where we meet people and businesses who are having a real impact on climate change. I'm your host, Bruce Bratley, founder and CEO of First Mile. Today, we meet the Felix Project. The Felix Project is a London-based charity whose mission is to rescue surplus food and redistribute it to schools, communities, and people living in food poverty. In their 2024 impact report, they have saved 16,000 tons of food waste, of surplus food waste, and delivered over 38 million meals to people in need. And today, I am very excited to be joined by Paul Baines, who is Felix's supply chain manager. And Paul has previously worked in logistics for a car parts company, delivering loo roll for Kimberly Clark, and also as a running coach. So, Paul, welcome to First Mile's Climate Heroes.
Bruce, thank you for having me along. A pleasure to be here. And you've done the full bio check as well. So, yeah.
Good. Great to have you here. Well, it was a bit of a flippant introduction as well. So, I'm sure you were doing more than delivering loo roll for Kimberly Clark during the pandemic. So, we can't blame you for that.
That is pretty much what my wife will tell you that I did. So, yeah. And very proud of that as well, actually. It was a tough time trying to find lorry drivers and those kind of things during the pandemic. So
anybody working in logistics during the pandemic is a tough time. So that was a slightly flippant introduction. So can you tell us a little bit about you and your journey to finding your way to the Felix Project?
Of course you can. So yes, supply chain and logistics is my background. And we work in that sector for 21 years. And at the age of 42, I decided that actually I needed to do something career-wise that gave back as well as challenging me in my career. So you mentioned I was a running coach.
Yeah.
So that was my volunteering thing that I did for 10, 15 years.
Yeah.
Leading running groups, being a run coach. And the pandemic kind of put a stop to that. And I thought, right, let's try and find a different career path where I was fulfilled as well as being challenged. Looked at the third sector. And then in 2022, I joined the Felix Project as a supply lead at the time. And I thought, yep, this is somewhere I can definitely use some of my skills that I've learned over my career and apply that to do some good in the world. And it's been amazing. I know leaving my old job was the right thing to do, but finding myself at Felix, it's certainly the right move for me and a great place for me to be.
And it's great. And I mean, we need logistics professionals in this, in it solve this problem, because fundamentally, we've got enough food to feed everyone. It's just in the wrong place and in the wrong hands at the wrong time. And that's where we end up with surplus food waste from the farm field through to individual retailers. And, you know, there's almost 11 million tons of food waste that we're wasting in the UK every year. And it's not all down to logistics, but a lot of it is.
Yeah, and Felix kind of steps in as that intermediary between the food industry. So that's why we need that level of professionalism. We have to operate at the same standards as them, the same speed of response.
Yeah.
We've got four large depots across London. I think when people first think of the Felix Project, they think of a food bank. Mm-hmm. So maybe a couple of trestle tables in a church hall.
Yeah.
Walk into one of our depots, you'll see that there are, each one has a freezer that can take 20 pallets, chillers that can take hundreds of pallets, ambient storage beyond that as well, large warehouses, fully trained workforce, amazing force of volunteers as well. And what we can do is work with the food industry at their scale and then take in and rescue large amounts of food and then break that down into smaller amounts of those frontline community organizations, charities can then handle. They can't handle a full truckload of tin food, but we can break it down, spread it out across the 1,200 charities we support, so everyone gets a little bit of what they need and a nice bit of variety as well.
Yeah, so it's just a massive logistics business you're running.
Essentially, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Essentially, with a big heart as well. There's something really fulfilling. I consider myself incredibly lucky. But barely a week goes past, sometimes not even a day, where my faith in humanity is restored. I'll have conversations with people who just want to do something about the issues, whether it's from a environmental background, whether it's to do with helping people, whether they just see, whether they just hate seeing food go to waste and they want to do something about it. There's some really passionate and dedicated people who I get to interact with both at Felix and our partners, whether that's food suppliers, funders, other businesses that get involved, yourselves at First Mile as well. Yeah. So it's really great.
So you've talked a lot about the sort of breadth almost straight away there, which we'll get into a bit more detail about what Felix does. But for the listeners and viewers who may well have heard of Felix or they might not have, what is Felix, the Felix Project's mission?
So we are a surplus food rescue and redistribution charity. And our mission is to make sure that no surplus food in London goes to waste and no Londoner goes hungry. You mentioned before about some of the figures, about the amount of food waste that we have here in London, here in the UK, globally even. And we know that the amount of food waste exceeds the demand for food. And we should be able to do something about that. And that's what we're here for.
Yeah. And it's a global issue as well. I mean, you know, I think we're producing enough food for 10 billion people. But it's just in the wrong place.
Exactly.
Does Felix have any global aspirations?
We are definitely a London-based charity.
Yeah.
I think it would be much harder to be as focused as we are if we were to spread further. But certainly we'd love to kind of spread the Felix ethos and ways of working around the world. And equally, we love learning from partners as well. I know a couple of years ago, our CEO Charlotte Hill and our Chief Operations Shane Dorset, on their own holiday, on their own time, went to visit City Harvest in New York.
Right.
So kind of like a busman's holiday to learn what they're doing there as well. And then through different organisations that we work through, we're trying to learn what's happening elsewhere in the world. Even things like policy changes, we know that different legislation applies in different countries and the impact that has on food waste. So whether that is mandatory food waste donation or reporting, there's certainly lots that could be learned globally and applied what we do as well. And if that can then be replicated by other charities and organizations, great. And then ultimately the aim is to get to a world where you don't need a Felix Project.
Yeah.
The idea of any charity is to kind of put yourself out of business. Let's try and actually tackle the issue. That's the ideal. We're a way off yet, but we'll work hard towards it always.
Yeah. Well, that's interesting. I mean, the Trussell Trust say there's 1.4 million people going hungry in the UK every day, which is a huge number of people. Why is that happening? You know, because I think the policy, we want it to stop.
Yeah.
But why is it happening in the first place? Because, you know, we have a huge range of places to buy food pretty much everywhere now and online. Why are so many people going hungry?
So when Felix first started back in 2016, the aim of the charity was to try and eradicate food waste in London. And what we found since then is that need, that demand has just increased year on year on year. Mm. So we've had the pandemic, we've had the cost of living crisis. We are in a cost of living crisis.
Yeah.
Inflation, everything is getting more and more expensive. So people's wages just can't keep up with the increasing costs of food, of rent, of fuel, of paying to get to work.
Yeah.
I think some of the stats that we have are saying about 50% of working families in the last year have had to turn to food support providers. And that number just seems to be going up and up and up. I think we kind of looked at the numbers a few years ago. So you said in the intro that Felix last year rescued the equivalent and redistributed 38 million meals. At one point, we were thinking, oh, okay, 100 million meals is going to be enough to tackle food waste in London. But that number is going up and up. So it's, a real perfect, horrible storm of rising cost of living, rising cost of everything.
Yeah.
And sadly, food is one of the things that sometimes has to take the back seat.
And that is interesting because we have had food inflation recently, but actually the longer term trend is the cost of food is coming down because of modern agricultural practices and distribution. But actually that almost doesn't really matter if the cost of everything else is going up and you have to pay your rent, you have to pay utilities. And then, you know, food is one of the things that potentially you could skip a meal. So very interesting. And Turning to the sort of food waste problem, which is sort of the other side to rescuing food for redistribution. As I said in the intro, RAP estimates there's 10.7 million tons of food waste, that food that is wasted in the UK each year. If you pro rata that for London, for your sort of audience, that's about 3 million tons, let's say. You're only saving 16,000 tons. Yeah. So, you know, although doing great things, we're not going to minimize that at all. It's almost just like a drop in the ocean of food waste just in London. So is that something that Felix can tackle, or are you doing as much as you can in terms of redistributing food? I mean, what's the blocker there?
We're trying to grow into that. So we think about 1% or less than 1% of edible surplus food currently can be rescued.
Right.
So the way Felix operates is we work with a lot of businesses that might have food that is in a form that is ready to be redistributed. So it could be food to go or wraps or sandwiches or products that you buy in the supermarket. Yeah. So you can take them home, cook them and use them. We know that there's more waste or more surplus food that we can't rescue. So farm gate surplus is a big one. So farmers are having to effectively plow food back into the fields or put it into anaerobic digestion. It's not easily accessible. It's not a case of turning up at a farm with a lorry and then getting it loaded. You need people and bodies to be picking it from the trees or digging it out of the soil or whatever it might be.
So the 1%. So of the 11 million tons, you just think there's 1% that can be redistributed.
1% is being currently rescued.
Currently rescued
by our sector. Right. So by food redistribution charities.
And how much do you think is the potential to sector? Because obviously, farm potatoes that are just going to get ploughed into the land, in theory could be rescued, but that's going to be a challenge. But of the 11 million tons, what tonnage do we think is potentially wasted meals that could be rescued and put back into?
That's a good question. It'd be interesting to kind of like look a little bit deeper into that. Mm. We obviously connect with retailers, wholesalers, manufacturers, and working with them to rescue food. We've let them know that, Felix is a safe pair of hands for their food. We have increased what we have done over the last few years as well. So prior to the pandemic back in 2019, we redistributed the equivalent of about 6 million meals. Mm-hmm. During the first year of the pandemic in 2020, that was 19 million meals. The last few years, it's been 30 million. And then last year, we jumped up to 38 million meals.
Yeah.
So we've done some updates to our own infrastructure.
Yeah.
So we started off with just one small depot in West London almost just over 9 years ago.
Yeah.
And we now have four large warehouses working in London, kind of like covering four compass points to make sure that we can then distribute to those boroughs that neighbour those sites as well. So we've increased our size and capacity.
Yeah.
We've reached out to more and more businesses. I think it's just trying to scale that up, and it might mean that we need more volunteers or more businesses stepping forward and saying, do you know what? Yes, I can get money back by putting food into anaerobic distribution.
Before we get into the sort of the barriers and how we scale it up, because I think that is really interesting, just to bring this to life, could you take the listeners in through the day or the journey of a meal? So, because as you said at the start, people think of food bank and it's a couple of trestle tables in a church hall of food that people have dropped off, from their own homes, but it's actually a much more industrial system that you've got. So take us through a sort of what a typical meal would be that you're donating and how that gets to the community, organisation, or the individual.
Absolutely, sure. So I think the first thing is to look at maybe the food sector within the UK and how that works. Mm. So there are many reasons why food can become surplus. It could be overproduction. It could be inaccurate forecasting. I used to work in supply chain, and the joke was if you got your forecast right for 3 months running, you were probably fiddling the book somewhere. there are so many variables in trying to get it right. Yeah. Even the weather can have an effect.
Or even hacks these days, Marks and Spencer's and Co-op have got all sorts of problems with food.
It could be anything really that throws that spanner in the works.
Yeah.
And this will be the same kind of food that individuals are purchasing in the supermarkets or buying online or however it is that you get your food and it becomes surplus. So we partner with those supermarkets, retailers, manufacturers. Once they know they have surplus food, they can get in touch with us. and we can rescue it. Now, sometimes it's an ongoing thing. So certain partners we work with, the larger businesses within the food industry will donate food on a daily basis. So we will go to them on their sites or they will deliver to us, and it will be van loads of food coming in every day. We also have smaller one-off donations. So it could be a wholesaler, for example, and they've done their quarterly stock check. And they're like, oh, we've got some stuff that's coming up to best before, and we can't sell that. So the food is out there. The food industry then work with us. We liaise very closely with them. And once the food comes into a Felix depot, the first thing we do is a number of safety checks. So if it's chilled or frozen food, we're making sure that it's at the right temperature when it comes in. So making sure those food safety criteria are checked, the chill chain and freezer chain are checked, for example. We can redistribute food past its best before date, depending on category, because that has to do with food quality rather than food safety.
Yeah.
But the use by date is a hard cutoff food safety law. So again, our teams are sorting food into what has a use-by date and what has a best-before date. So use-by date is making sure that if it's still within use-by date, we're sending that food out as quickly as possible.
Yeah.
If it's past use-by date, that food is safely disposed of.
Yeah.
And then with the best-before date, depending on the category, something like bread, we could get between 2 and 7 days extra shelf life on there.
Yeah.
We're doing the kind of physical checks on the products. Other ambient items, drinks, for example, we could get a number of months on there.
Yeah.
If you think of things like tin food and pasta, which we actually hardly ever get, you can get years on that. It's still going to be safe to eat.
Yeah.
We do have a principle where we want to make sure the food that we send out is of high quality. I always say that Felix isn't sending out food that I wouldn't or we wouldn't be happy serving to guests in our own home, because there's a real importance of dignity around what we do as well.
Yeah.
So yeah, the food will come into our depots, goes through that kind of very strict sorting criteria, and then is stored in the correct location as well. So in the chiller or in ambient storage or frozen storage, etc.
Yeah.
The charities that we work with will give us a list of criteria of what they can and can't take as well.
Yeah.
So we're making sure that if a charity is taking frozen or chilled items, that they have freezers and chillers. So our community engagement team does a series of audits and checks with those charities.
Yeah.
If that community organization is going to be doing cooking, for example, we know that we can send them raw ingredients, fresh produce, protein, etc., to make meals. If they don't have that capability, so it could be something like a homeless shelter or a refuge, and all people have is perhaps a kettle or a microwave, we then make sure that we're sending them kind of like ready meals or food to go. So matching what we have with the criteria of those charities.
Yeah.
And we have about a dozen vans at each of our four depots.
Yeah.
And they're doing a number of routes every day. They go out fully laden. So they'll do a number of drops to community organizations and local charities. On the way back, they will then stop off at suppliers to collect food on the way back. So we're trying to be as efficient as we can do. So again, we talked before about that logistics problem.
Reverse haulage,
there's not a lot of funding in charity, so you've got to be super smart with what we do.
Yeah.
They then come back to the depots fully laden, and the process goes through again. And food rarely sits in the Felix depot for very long.
Yeah.
We tend to get a lot of short-dated items because we can react so quickly and get it distributed so quickly.
Yeah.
So items with a use-by date, chilled food, fresh produce, about 50% of what we rescue and redistribute is fruit and veg.
Yeah.
So not only are we getting food to communities in London where people are living in food insecurity, and we're also trying to make sure that it's good quality and healthy as well. Yeah. So that's a really key part of what we do.
And do you, I mean, that is super interesting, and it is effectively, it's like a distribution network, logistics network you'd have for a supermarket, a delivery supermarket. Yeah. You've got food coming in, but it's just a bit more complicated because you don't know what you're going to get every day.
Exactly,
you haven't got a pile of SKUs coming
in. We've got the daily variants.
Yeah.
And then we also have the seasonal variants as well.
Yeah.
So we tend to find that the winter months can be a little bit quieter.
Yeah.
Then you get into the British growing season, and there'll be periods where we certainly get gluts of certain produce. So courgettes will be coming up in the summertime. Pumpkins will be coming up in the autumn time, etc. So it's trying to manage how we do that as well. And I think
sprouts in January that no one's eaten.
Yeah, we always joke that we get our Christmas items in January and February. We get the hot cross buns and Easter eggs way after Easter. Yeah. So it's kind of follows. We're falling behind what you might see in retail.
And if you look across the entire year, what's the most frequent donated item that you're getting? Is it a lowly banana or an apple?
Yeah, in the UK, the three most commonly items that become surplus food are bread, bananas, and potatoes. It would have been nice if it's something else would be, but it's potatoes. So right. Yeah, bread, banana, and potatoes. Those are the three things that are most commonly
surplus. And you can always find a home for those.
Yeah, we have our charities that we distribute to. Bread, obviously, people, you know, it's kind of like we use phrase our daily bread. Yeah. And potatoes and bananas. What I also really like about Felix is kind of our innovation. So we talked before about, you know, how do you get more than just that 1% being rescued?
Yeah.
And we've looked at some of the blockers that we have. So seasonal gluts is one of those things. We suddenly get inundated with large amounts of a particular food type.
Yeah.
And even with 1,200 charities, there is only so many courgette recipes that you can do. There's only so much banana bread that can be made.
Yeah.
And what we have in our South London depot in Deptford, which is now the first of the Coronation Food Hubs, opening this year will be the Felix Food Factory.
Right, okay.
So we already have a meals production kitchen in our East London depot. So they will make ready meals from food for people who can't cook for themselves for a reason or can't afford to put an oven on, but they can afford to microwave meals, et cetera, whatever it might be. The Felix Food Factory is looking at, okay, how can we take seasonal gluts and turn them into items that can have their life extended and also smooth that flow? So again, going back to supply chain, you're always looking at your peaks and your troughs and trying to mitigate those. So if we can dehydrate bananas and turn them into chips, turns them into a long life product, it can be in ambient storage for a little bit longer and then be made available later. Things like tomatoes and courgettes and veg can be turned into stocks and sauces.
Yeah.
We're looking at freezing items. We've already done something over the last couple of years with our orchard rescue where any smaller apples and pears that are too small to eat can be turned into juice, pasteurized. Yeah. And then what was a product that had a few weeks shelf life now has months, if not years shelf life.
Yeah.
And then we can make sure that food comes in throughout the entire year. So communities could be receiving the fresh product at the time that it's bountiful.
Yep.
And then during those quieter months, they can be getting stocks, sauces, juices, turning fruit into preserves, etc. So always looking at ways of innovating. What's the problem? How do we tackle it? So when we're offered food, we don't like to say no. We like to say not yet. We haven't figured out how to rescue that particular food yet.
Yeah.
But give us some time and we'll figure a way of doing it.
And what's the hardest thing to rescue?
I still go back to the farms, really. The manpower needed to pick fruit from trees or berries or take veg out of the ground.
Yeah.
The British farming industry has its own issues that it's trying to deal with. We know in the last few years with labour shortages, sometimes it's just not viable for farmers to be picking their food and paying for labour to pick it and sell it to supermarkets or retailers or whoever it might be. So it's ways of how can we get into that.
First Mile is the UK's leading recycling company, and we help over 30,000 businesses recycle to reduce their carbon impact. Go to our website, thefirstmile.co.uk, to get started today. If you're enjoying this episode, please subscribe and follow us on YouTube, Spotify, or Apple. So, Paul, I mean, super interesting in terms of hearing the life of a meal through the Felix Logistics Programme. It is very complicated. If you had a magic food waste, food poverty wand to wave, what would you ask for to make this issue go away?
That's a great question. So, we don't have a magic wand, but we do have our Felix policy unit.
Yeah.
This is something that we've introduced in the last year or so. So, trying to leverage our place within the food industry to push government to introduce changes. So we know that this year mandatory food waste segregation came in.
Yeah.
We are pushing for things like the Farmgate Surplus Fund that was announced by the previous Conservative government.
Yeah.
That kind of went a little bit quiet when the new Labour government came in. Felix and other charities within our sector then pushed the government and said, okay, we've got to have that funding come back in again. So we've now made applications to that to try and rescue more Farmgate surplus. Things like mandatory food waste reporting.
Yeah.
And also we know anaerobic digestion gets subsidies. What we are pushing for is, why can't we just have that for food distribution instead? So the pot of money can stay the same, but rather than it being just for anaerobic digestion, incentivize businesses to donate their good quality edible surplus food for redistribution instead.
Yeah.
So those are kind of the key things. We kind of look a little bit bigger beyond just what we can do logistically. I think we need some legislative change to make some real inroads and leaps and bounds now.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and that is really interesting because from a First Mile perspective, the last thing we want to see is why we talked and working with the Felix Project. So the last thing we want to see is edible food in our food waste recycling service. That's for food waste or food that can't be eaten or from prep ingredients, peelings, bones, everything else that we want in there. And frankly, there's plenty of that to go around without us needing to worry about it. There's nothing that upsets me more than seeing at our depot a skip full of croissants that could have been eaten by somebody else. So, in the same way that Felix is trying to put itself out of business, we'd quite like you to put us out of business first because you're taking all the surplus food waste and just leave us with what's left there. And we do have new legislation which is trying to tackle food waste, which is this year from the 1st of April, it was mandatory for all larger businesses. And in 2 years' time, all businesses will have to have in England a mandatory food waste recycling service at their back door. Is that going to be a positive? And it's going to raise the awareness of food waste more, but there's also potential risk that if everyone's got to put some food waste into a bin at the end of the day, there's a risk that it might not come to Felix because it could be easy for businesses just to throw it away rather than think, actually, I need to do something about diverting it to a region. Or do you see it as an opportunity?
Yeah, definitely opportunity.
Yeah.
And the fact that it's been highlighted and now mandatory for businesses to do that. And we kind of see it as the first step. And what we're asking businesses to do, okay, you're having to do that first step. You're now having to segregate your food waste and pay more for that particular type of disposal than you would do for a regular waste or recycling.
Yeah.
Now take the next step and just see out of that food, could anything be redistributed? And I think one of the big drivers in that, because we're working with businesses, is going to be cost.
Yeah.
So you can look at the cost of your food waste, your what's being disposed of. There are charities like Felix who will take your food for free. So over the cost of a year, think of how much you're paying for your food waste.
Yeah.
You know, how much a bin costs.
Don't pay me.
Yeah. How much it costs, you know, week on week.
Yeah.
And then if you segregated food that's still edible from, like you said, the scraps and the peelings and the stuff that should be being thrown away, put some numbers on it and think, right, okay, if I donate the food instead of having to pay for it to go into these bins, I'm going to save X amount per month, per year.
Yeah.
It starts adding up. So we think it's a real great opportunity to sort of get the word out there anyway. What I think it probably will do is bring more attention to our services from non-food businesses. The food industry themselves are kind of aware of the problem. And between ourselves and other charities within our sector, we are working with every major manufacturer, retailer that we can get hold of who will answer the phone or, you know, whose doors we're knocking on.
Yeah.
And already making them aware of, okay, you can donate your food safely, understand that it's being handled with the same care that you would handle your own products, that's being distributed safely as well, and that is then going to drive down their costs. So partners we work with already, and these some of the major retailers, can probably provide you some stats to say, okay, by donating surplus food to the charity sector, we are saving X amount of money every year on top of the environmental impact, on top of the social good that it's doing as well. Like we started the conversation with, there's a food poverty insecurity issue here in London, here in the UK. This is one small step that we can take. Yes, your food is going to get thrown away. You're not going to make the margins or the profit that you thought from it.
Yeah.
But rather than just throwing it away, think, can I just do what I'd say is the right thing? Donate it to people who
absolutely really need it. And an additional point there is that now that there's mandatory food waste recycling, the cost of food waste recycling is going to go up because it tends to track the cost of landfill, the cost of incineration, and they're both going up with ETS and the rising landfill tax. Whereas if you can donate it for free, that's never going to increase. What you should be doing is donating it and making a financial donation to Felix.
Yes,
what you should really be doing. But the cost is going to go up, so planning and donating is really important. Do you have issues with brands where certain brands just go, we don't want to donate it because we don't want to see our brand of product being given away? Or is that not an issue in food waste?
Like I said, we work with some big household names.
Yeah.
We work with Amazon, with Ocado, with HelloFresh, with Mindful Chef. We work with a lot of household names. Within the food sector, I think it's just understood that there is surplus food.
Yeah.
And the food industry needs more to actually reduce that. But at the same time, if you're going to have surplus food, make sure that it goes to people. If it's edible, make sure it goes to people. And that's the right thing to do.
Yeah, absolutely. We say eat it, donate it, and then throw it away if it's non-edible.
Exactly, yeah. And, you know, we work closely with RAP, so WRAP. They are a waste prevention NGO as well.
Yeah.
And their material hierarchy of food and drink is saying the first tier is prevent it. If you can't prevent it, donate it to people. Then look at things like animal feed or AD, whatever it is, and then going down that pyramid of waste, putting it into landfill or incinerating is the very last option. Sadly, what we have at the moment is only 1% of that edible surplus food is being rescued, and more of it is actually going into either landfill or AD. But as I said before, there are just some small changes that either through food businesses or through legislation, changes that could be made and introduced that would then really shift out the other way and tackle, you know, three problems at the same time. It's a no-brainer for us, really.
Yeah, absolutely. And do Felix deal with any non-food donations and redistribution of non-food items?
We do, yes. So a few years ago, we started a partnership with Multibank. Right. So this was a charity launched by former Prime Minister Gordon Brown in partnership with Amazon. And as well as having all the shocking stats around food waste in the UK and the issues that people have, there is a lot of issues with perfectly good finished products and non-food items being thrown away.
Yeah.
So you think of things like seasonal branded or event branded items.
Yeah.
No one wants World Cup 2024 bottles of deodorant or shower gel.
Yeah.
But there are charities and individuals who happily take them.
Yeah.
We know sectors like hospitality where bed linen and towels are only washed a number of times before being thrown away.
Yeah.
So Multibank, there are now, I believe, 4 or 5 Multibanks across the UK.
Right.
And they're looking at a similar process of taking in donations of good quality non-food surplus items and distributing it across those smaller charities as well. Because if you're struggling with food poverty and insecurity and paying the bills and paying for fuel and getting to work, a lot of things that we often take for granted, then also you just don't put in your shopping basket.
Yeah.
So the fact that we can then supplement people with that, again, it's making sure that people living in need are getting things that the rest of us take for granted, and less things are being thrown away, less environmental impact, less stuff going to landfill or incineration or wherever it might be.
On this show, we're building a Hall of Fame for climate heroes, and we always ask our wonderful guests to leave something in First Mile's Climate Heroes Hall of Fame. So what or who would it be?
So, Bruce, I'm going to deviate slightly, and I'm going to put a mindset, a theory in there.
That's good.
So if you think of the issues with climate change and sustainability, what we see in the news today, it's so easy to become really disheartened with everything. What I say to people is that a small action done by many, many, many people can be that change, can make that difference. So it's easy to get disheartened, and we often do it at Felix. We sometimes think about the food that we haven't rescued. Actually, bring your focus back to the food that you did rescue. So always look at the what you've done positively and how you can grow that. And then I think if everyone has that mindset collectively, we can actually start solving some of these issues around climate change, sustainability, food poverty that we're all facing.
I love it. Small change, habit forming, positive action.
Yeah.
What could our listeners help with to make Felix a much bigger success, and what blockers can we help unblock?
So our CEO, Charlotte, Charlotte Hill, whenever she sends me somewhere, all we need to ask for is food, money, and volunteers. They're the kind of three key things that keep Felix going. So if you're in the food industry, or if you're not in the food industry, have those conversations around edible surplus waste. Look at the options available to you. If you're in London, it's Felix. If it's elsewhere in the country, there are other partner charities, Fair Share and City Harvest, etc., doing similar things to us as well. And look at ways of, okay, let's try and get as much edible surplus food to people as we can do. Obviously, financial donations, every charity. We have incredibly hard working fundraising teams, but the more money we get, the more we can do. But also volunteers.
Yeah.
So Felix is very much volunteer powered. We have just over 200 members of staff, but last year we had between, I think, 13,000, 14,000 different individuals volunteering with us.
Amazing.
Given 140,000 hours, 150,000 hours of volunteering time.
Yeah.
And that could be something as simple as doing a green scheme route in central London.
Yeah.
So if you're in a London office, you can do a little point-to-point food collection and delivery in an hour in your lunch break, or come and volunteer at one of our depots. We do orchard rescue, we need drivers, we need warehouse staff. There's no commitment either. So if you want to come once in a year or twice in a year, that's absolutely fine. We have volunteers that often come every week. So it's now, well, Thursday afternoons is always my Felix time because Bruce is there and John's there and so, and we're just friends and that's what we do.
Yeah.
We have the ladies from Old Ectonians Football Club who come and volunteer every Saturday morning in our West London depot. It's kind of become like a way of giving back and people feeling fulfilled. You know, our East London depot is very close to Canary Wharf where we have financial office, et cetera. So people will do their day job and afterwards they'll come and do a few hours in the Felix kitchen. So we try and make it as flexible as possible, but we're super powered by our volunteers. So those are a few things, food, money, and volunteers.
So if you've got food, money, or volunteers, how do we get in touch?
So Felix Project website is your kind of first stop point to go to. And then along the top, it says become a food supplier, become a volunteer. And it talks you through there. We updated our volunteer management portal last year as well. So there's some great training videos. We've got five or six different sites across London where you can volunteer as well. If you want to become a food supplier, supply@thefelixproject.org is the website link. But also the website has our number as well. So you can give us a call, talk more. There's no commitment.
Yeah.
So if you think you might have something you can donate or you think, you know, you might not be a decision maker, but you want to find out some more.
Yeah.
Give our team a call.
Yeah.
We'll talk you through what we can and can't take, how we operate, how we can kind of find a tailored solution to what we do. So we've got our depots that work at scale. I mentioned our green scheme, which is a point-to-point service. In the last year, 18 months, we've introduced Felix Connect, which is an online platform for smaller donations. So one of the 1,200 smaller charities that we donate to, you can put your details of your donation, could be an office food drive, for example, on the portal. One of them will come and collect from you directly at a date and time that you want to. Since that started, that's an extra 10 tons of food rescued. 6 tons of that is this year alone.
Yeah.
So it's really escalated. And I think that's probably going to be a key one where we talked about the mandatory food segregation.
Yeah.
If you are a business that is now new to having to segregate your food and you've got edible surplus food, that's often a real good first point of call for that as well.
Perfect. Sounds fantastic. So that draws us to a close of this episode of Climate Heroes. And I want to offer a huge thanks to Paul Bain, Supply Manager at Felix Project, for joining us on this episode talking about redistribution of surplus food waste. So, Paul, thanks very much for coming on the show.
Bruce, thank you. And to the team at First Mile for having us on. It's wonderful to be, you know, working with you guys.
Pleasure. I'm Bruce Bratley, and you've been listening to First Mile's Climate Heroes, where we meet incredible people making an impact to tackle climate change. If you've enjoyed this episode, leave us a review and subscribe to the show. We have brand new episodes every Wednesday.